If you have your program, now would be a good time to find that little half sheet. If you want to follow along in the notes, fill in the blanks. If you brought your smartphone or your tablet, as always, if you have the Bible YouVersion app, you can click on Live Events and follow along electronically if we'd like. I'd encourage you to do that. And I'd sure encourage everyone today, if you brought a Bible or not, if you didn't, there's one in the chair in front of you you should be able to find. And we're going to look up this morning Luke chapter 15. So a couple of books into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then find chapter 15. And if you'll mark that, we're going to be reading from Luke 15 a little bit later, and would really want you to see, again, what the Bible says for itself. So I would encourage you to be a part of that. And we just saw some incredible stories. Your story, and we all have one, may not be as dramatic, but maybe there's been a time in your life when you've felt that same emptiness. All of our stories really are different, but they all have very similar characteristics. Because all of us here today know what it's like to have longings that go unfulfilled. We know what it's like to end up sometimes in a place that we never intended to be. In fact, maybe even at this moment, you find yourself thinking, you know, there's just got to be more. In this series, Finding Your Way Back to God, we're going to be looking at five awakenings that happen in the journey back to God. And we're going to start this morning with the first awakening, which is the awakening to longing, the awakening to longing. And the feeling that there's got to be more kind of wakens in us longings that are found really deep within our souls. And these longings are so universal that they show up almost everywhere in our culture. They show up in the stories that we write, in the art that we create, even in the songs that we will sing. Now, to prove my point, I'm actually going to play for you a small part of some songs that are all about these longings. And I want to see, as we play the song, if you can finish the song, because you'll maybe recognize some of them. This first one we're going to start with is for all the rockers that are here today, and listen and see if you can finish the song. All right, pretty good, pretty good. Let's see if you can do how you do with this one. All right. Wow, you guys got that one down pretty good. Okay, one more. Let's see how you do with this one.
Get everything I've been looking for. I was looking for love in all the wrong places.
You guys know that song a little bit too well. I mean, because everybody's singing along there. We listen to those songs. Those tunes help us identify the longings that all of us have. And let's take a look at some of those. I think all of us would recognize we all have a longing for love, a desire to love and to be loved. Now, any idea what the record might be for the most number of marriages for any one person in the United States? 29. Glenn Wolfe's longest marriage lasted 7 years. His shortest marriage lasted 19 days. Here's an interesting detail. He was actually a Baptist minister. It kind of makes you wonder why Glenn Wolfe didn't give up maybe after his fourth marriage or even after his 24th attempt at marriage. Why did he keep on trying? Well, why do most of us keep on trying? After all, isn't it true? Relationships can be hard. We get wounded. We get hurt. And yet we still long for love. All of us here are looking for love. And that longing for love actually goes all the way back to how the human race was designed in the first place. God intended for all of us to experience His love, both directly from Him, but also through others that we relate to in a healthy way. You know, when God was creating this world, if you remember, He paused a number of times to observe what He had created, and He always said, "It was good." Until, if you remember, He created the first human. And that's when He uttered for the first time in Genesis 2, He said, "The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone." Now, why is that? Well, to be alone creates a lot of loneliness. And God wasn't just saying that the first man needed a wife. He was saying that our longing for love and intimacy was part of our inheritance from Him. So So we all have a longing for love. We also all have a longing for some purpose in our life. I want you to think back, if you can, for a moment to when you were a kid, farther back for some than others. But see if you can think back to the time when you were maybe 5 or 6 years old. And when you were 5 or 6 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up? I bet you had something in your mind. Maybe it was a doctor or a teacher. Someone told me this morning they wanted to be a cowboy. Maybe a fireman or an astronaut. I really kind of wanted to be a pilot. I think I still do. But have you ever thought about why at that age were you dreaming of any kind of job or profession at all? I mean, you didn't need a job at that age. You don't have any bills to pay. You're just trying at that age to learn, you know, the alphabet and how to write your name. Why do you think you were even thinking about what you wanted to be when you grew up? Again, it's because you already had inside that longing for some kind of purpose. You wanted to be able to accomplish something in this world. You know, in the Old Testament, God actually spoke to a man named Jeremiah and actually revealed how he had hardwired personal significance into this man's life from the very beginning. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, from the Message, God said to Jeremiah, "Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had some holy plans for you." Now, when you hear that, what's your gut level reaction? I believe that there's something inside all of us who would kind of hope those words could be true about us. Like Jeremiah, we'd really like to know that we're on this earth for a reason, for a purpose. But you know, that's not always easy for anyone to believe, even for some of the most successful and famous people. For example, not long after Tom Brady won his 3rd Super Bowl championship with the New England Patriots, Steve Kroft interviewed him on 60 Minutes. And during the interview, Brady talked about his search for fulfillment. Steve Kroft asked him, he said, "Tom, this whole experience, this whole upward trajectory, what have you learned about yourself? What kind of effect has that had on you?" And Brady said, "Well, actually, I put incredible amounts of pressure on me." See, when you feel like you're ultimately responsible for everyone and everything, there's a lot of pressure. And I think, why, when I have 3 Super Bowl rings, do I still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, a lot of people would say, "Hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life, me." I think, God, it's got to be more than this. So Steve Kroft asked him, "Well, what's the answer?" And Tom said, "I wish I knew. I wish I knew." See, in spite of his incredible accomplishments and resulting wealth and fame, Tom Brady was still looking for something more. And you know, sometimes I think that's how we feel. We've fallen into the routine of life, and sometimes it just feels like the same old thing, and we wonder if there's more. I think Solomon in the Old Testament was kind of wondering that also in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He says, "I've seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them they're just meaningless. They seem like it's just a chasing after the wind." Maybe that's how your life feels sometimes. Mike Bro, who's a pastor and an author, he was complaining one time about how he has to do the same old stuff every single day, and he explained it this way. He said, "You know, you get up at the same old time, you shut off the same old alarm clock, you walk into the same old bathroom, look at the same old face and the same old mirror. You get in the same old shower, dry off with the same old towel, put on the same old clothes. You walk down to the same old kitchen, get out the same old bowl, eat the same old cereal, drink the same old coffee, kiss the same old wife goodbye." He said that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that one. And then he said, "You drive the same old car down the same old street to the same old job. You laugh at the same old jokes told by the same old boss the same old way. You clock out at the same old time. You get back in the same old car, drive down the same old street, pull in the same old garage, hug the same old kids, sit down to the same old dinner." Finally, Mike said, "You sit in the same old recliner, watch the same old TV show, fall asleep in the same old chair. You get up and you crawl out and you get into the same old bed. You ask the same old wife the same old question. You get the same old answer. You roll over, you set the same old alarm clock, and you get up the next day and you do the same old thing all over again." Does that ever feel like your life? It's not difficult to understand why we can experience some disillusionment that causes us to wonder, is this all there is? Is this, you know, why I worked so hard all these years? There's got to be more. We have that longing for purpose. We also have a longing for some meaning in our life, some meaning in our life. Now, it's interesting. I found out there's a company that actually sells educational curricula that says if you're going to be a good parent or if you're going to be a good teacher, you need to be prepared to answer kids' why questions. And here are some of the why questions they say you need to be prepared to answer. So parents, listen up. When your kids ask, hey, why do I have a shadow? Why does the wind blow? Daddy, why does your breath smell so bad? Why is grandpa's hair gray? Why is grandma's hair blue? Why do camels have humps? Why do dogs bark? And get this, for just a mere $19.95, this company will send you their curriculum that will answer all your kids' questions. But you know, regardless of our age, all of us here have plenty of why questions. When we become adults, our why questions just become a little bit more complicated. I think probably most of us in this room have had enough pain in our lives that at some point we've asked why. We want to know what's the meaning of all of this. In fact, the truth is, meaning really is nothing more than the answers to some of the big why questions in life. Questions like, you know, why, God, if you are so good, would you allow this to happen? Or why am I here? I mean, what's the point of life? Or why am I in so much pain? One of the most challenging questions that we're going to encounter as we try to find our way back to God is this one. Why does God allow there to be suffering in this world? And I look at just what's happened in my lifetime. I think back a few years, the Rwandan genocide or 9/11. Or I look at what's going on right now in Syria and Afghanistan. Or I can draw it in really closer, just look at my own life and a few years ago when our son Blake had leukemia and went through a horrendous time. Or other of my loved ones or family who I've seen suffer from illness and cancer. And it can be a challenge in our faith. Which is why I would just say today, when suffering causes you to question God, and oftentimes it will, when suffering causes you to question God, you need to think about this. I mean, think this. You know, there's a reason why suffering feels not just painful. Have you noticed that? It's not that suffering just feels painful. It also feels wrong. It feels unfair. There's also a reason why you feel like your life and the world aren't the way they're supposed to be. Something's wrong about this. And you see, the desire to see wrongs righted and suffering come to an end was actually put in you by God. He gave you those feelings. He actually feels the same way. And that's why we need to recognize that the longing for love, the longing for purpose, and the longing for the answers to the big why questions are longings that every one of us here this morning experience. In fact, we're actually hardwired with these longings. And so the problem isn't that we have these longings or these feelings or desires. The problem is when we seek to fulfill them on our own. It's a problem when we try to satisfy these longings or answer those questions apart from God or without God. Now, here's the good news this morning. Awakening to these longings and to the truth of where they can be satisfied is what often marks the beginning of your journey back to God. The reason we know that is because in Luke 15, so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 15. In Luke 15, Jesus tells what's considered by many to be one of the greatest short stories in all of literature. And it's a story of a lost son who has this longing that he goes and tries to get satisfied because he was just feeling, you know what, there's just got to be more. So if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and jump to Luke chapter 15. We're going to start reading with verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Well, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, though, there was a severe famine throughout the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country and sent him out to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Notice he longed for those things. When you think about the son at this point in his life, can't you hear him singing some of those songs we listened to earlier? You know, you can't always get what you want. I still haven't found what I was looking for. I think I've been looking for love in all the wrong places. In the first century Middle Eastern culture, a son asking for his inheritance early was one of the worst insults a father could have received. In Jesus' day, a son was expected to not only wait until his father died to receive his inheritance, he was also expected to take care of his father in his old age. And so this son asking for his inheritance early would be like him saying, "Look, Dad, I don't really care if you live or die. I just know there's something more, and I want it now." It would have been a huge offense. Now, before we write off this son as completely ungrateful and selfish, could it be that possibly what he just said out loud is something we sometimes feel in the inside? I mean, don't we sometimes feel like life isn't really providing us with what we'd hoped for or what we wanted or even maybe what we feel like we deserve? I think so. And what I'm about to say may surprise you, but I think it's what we need to understand about longings. Thinking and feeling that you want something more is what you should feel. Thinking and longing that you want something more is what you should feel. Now, when I say that, just remember that not everything that you desire is good for you, but that longing for love, a love that will truly last, and the purpose for living, and your need to make sense out of the hard things in life are all longings that come from God. But you know, the son in Jesus' story was like so many of us. He was convinced that he had to leave the Father in order to fulfill his longings and find the answers he was looking for. And so Jesus said he set out for a distant country. Now, the story doesn't give us many details about actually what occurred in that distant country. It just tells us that he squandered his wealth with wild living, and we're kind of left to imagine what wild living might have looked like back in Jesus' day. I would think if the story were told today, the son probably would have ventured off to some place like Vegas or Amsterdam or Pueblo in order, some other exotic place in search of something more. And it was likely that the journey included parties that went into the wee hours of the morning and binge drinking and women who were willing to satisfy every desire. Well, it didn't take long for the son really to have his story turn sour, because he blew his inheritance, a famine struck the land, and he had no money and no food. So it says he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him out into the field to feed the pigs. And he was so hungry, he would have gladly dined with the swine if he could have. I think he found his longing for love wasn't satisfied in the women he was with. His longing for purpose wasn't found in partying. His journey left him asking a lot of why questions, I bet. Like, why didn't this turn out like I thought it would? Or why am I so lonely and broke and empty? Why did I end up in a place like this? Does any of that sound or feel familiar today? See, it's not hard for every one of us to find ourselves at least somewhere in the story of the lost son. Maybe less dramatic and less painful, but maybe not. Maybe for some of you, even more painful. You know, the reason Jesus told this story was to help all of us be able to find our way home, to be able to find our way back to God. So it brings us to some important questions. And these are questions that I can guarantee you're going to need to be able to answer over and over again in your life, but it has to start somewhere. And so these are some important life questions. Where will I go to satisfy these God-given longings? Because you're going to go somewhere that's a longing that God hardwired into you. Where are you going to go to satisfy those God-given longings? And then ask yourself, when you decide where you're going to go, is that going to draw me closer to God, or is it going to draw me away from God? This series is definitely about an initial time that we find our way back to God and begin a relationship with Him. And some of you here this morning, you may need to begin that journey back to God. We sure hope that happens in this series. But for many of us, we've already started the journey. And so it's about our ongoing journey. Finding our way back to God starts with a life-changing moment, but it's also a life-growing process. I mean, for those of you that have been headed back to God, think about your spiritual journey. How many times have you actually wandered away from home? Or how many times have you even forgotten about God or maybe even turned your back on Him? Now, throughout this series, we're going to be looking at these five awakenings that occur in everybody's spiritual journey. And these five awakenings are something that we really all need to awaken to again and again and again. The first is the awakening to longing. And it's all about recognizing that you're longing for love and you're longing for purpose and you're longing for meaning. It's not satisfied by running from God. It's satisfied by turning to God, because God is the ultimate source. He's the ultimate source of love. In Romans 5:8, the Bible tells us, God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us, because God is love. He's the ultimate source of where we find love. He's the ultimate source of where we find purpose in life. In Psalm 139, the psalmist reminds us, says, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God knows you. He's planned you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says that we're actually God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, the word handiwork in the Greek is the word poema. And it sounds a little bit like our English word poem. And that's because it is an artistic word. It's a term that really conveys the idea to us that we have not been mass-produced. In fact, you've not been mass-produced. God made you individually, uniquely, and poetically. And it's kind of like God saying to you in that verse, hey, you are a piece of work. Now, that's not always a compliment unless it comes from God, reminding you that He personally created and crafted you. And you are His work of art. He's the ultimate source for meaning in life, too. When we start to wonder and say, God, why all the suffering in this world? How do we deal with suffering? In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul said, hey, I consider that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. One day God's going to make it right. In the book of Revelation 21, we actually find out how it's all going to wrap up in the end. And there it says, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, because the old order that we live in now has passed away. And so my question to you this morning would be, have you been looking for love in all the wrong places? Have you still not found what it is you're looking for? Has your experience been that you can't always get what you want? Maybe it's because you haven't been letting those longings be fulfilled in God. And I know some of you are saying, well, I don't know if God could meet those needs. If you're still skeptical, I just want to encourage you to take the challenge, the prayer challenge, over these next 30 days. And if you just would, maybe once a day or a couple times a day, just honestly and earnestly pray this prayer. God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. Because God wants to make Himself real to you. But you have to awaken to the fact that He's the answer to your need. Now, we really want to encourage you to take this journey together. And so if you notice there's a little QR code in your bulletin, or if you signed up on the back of your welcome card, if you go to our website, there's actually a link you can click to. And every day we'll send you a little prayer guide to guide you through these 30 days as you try to awaken yourself to that longing that you have and ultimately discover that the only place it will be met is with the Father. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for giving us the story of this lost son and for just being able to make it so clear how we today even try to find satisfaction from the things of this world when what we really need to do is to be at home with you. Father, I would pray if there's anybody here today who's awakened to that longing and needs to begin the journey back to you today, that you give them the courage to do that. And for all of us here, help us today to know that that longing that's inside of us was created by you and can only be satisfied in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.